discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Well, it's not too many people that can claim to have taken to the football field with Peyton Manning, testified to the U.S. Senate, and performed with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. But today we go on the road and learn of a Minnesota-born, Super Bowl-winning former NFL tight end for the Colts and the Bengals, who's now embarking on a career in music with his new album, Man Up. But it was one moment in Bengals training camp that changed his life forever. It's the story of Ben Utek, and to share it today, the warmest of welcomes to you, sir. Ben, thank you for being here with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's great to talk with you, and what a story. But Ben, I want to take us back to that such a significant moment in your career and in your life. I mean, you're starting to really come on in your NFL career, having some really productive seasons. Your stats keep going up, and then the concussion in training camp with the Bengals. I understand you were unconscious, actually, for a substantial amount of time.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, my career, really starting in high school, was filled with injuries. And my wife and I, after my NFL career ended, looked back, and there was really only maybe a season or two since my 11th grade year that I actually didn't sustain an injury. Wow. And concussions, unfortunately, became a part of that career and were the most major reason why my career ended, which was in 2009. And that was a tough one. We just had our first daughter. And like you said, things were on the up and up, and I had just signed a contract with Cincinnati to kind of be their breakout receiving tight end, which is what I always wanted. Unfortunately, the door closed. And it was a tough time because I had started experiencing some noticeable cognitive changes after my fourth concussion in Indianapolis. And so we really had to take a hard look at the future. And because I had passions in ministry, passions in music, I really knew that there were things that I wanted to be able to do down the road. We decided it was time to walk away due to wanting to protect, you know, my brain. And that's become a huge platform for me, is to really educate people on that issue. And if I can, emotionally connect them to the importance of their brain health.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and I think it's one that so many of us don't understand. I mean, when you suffer a broken leg, people understand that. You know, when it's something physical that's visible and relatable. But take us through the months after that concussion, Ben. I mean, what did you go through that was profound enough to lead you to make this decision to end your career?
Well, I think the most alarming would be some of these memory gaps that I've had. And it's tough because you sit around a table with your family and your friends, and people will be reminiscing about stories that every single person remembers and remembers clearly. And some of them are just gone. And no matter how hard you think about them, they don't reappear. And those are some of the symptoms that I was experiencing and to this day continue to experience and are the reason why we decided to move on. The interesting thing, and you just brought this up, is that I always knew that playing football was going to cause injury, and I was always prepared for arthritis and, you know, even some chronic pain in the joints, because that really was a part of the game. What I wasn't prepared for is an injury that, in effect, can take away your personality. It injures who you are as a person, your identity. God gave us all the miracle of the brain so that we could reveal his likeness. And in order to do that, we have to have one that functions.
Right.
And honestly, it's unlike anything else. It's when someone has a brain disease, it's a difficult thing because it really becomes the end of who they are as a person. It has an effect on their personality and a deterioration of an identity. And that's what makes brain disorder, brain disease such an issue that we need to take very seriously. And so that was, what was going through my mind the months after that concussion and led us to make the decision to walk away.
Ben Utek made it to the pinnacle of his profession, to the NFL and winning a Super Bowl with the Indianapolis Colts. And now he's embarking on a musical career, a speaking career, and as an advocate for these issues of brain health. And you can hear that Ben is very passionate about these things. A lot of people were taken aback by your song, the powerful song, "You Will Always Be My Girls." And it's talking about the love of your family that led to that decision. Ben, can you take us behind that song and your new album as well?
Sure. Well, the new album is getting close to being released here. It's called Man Up, and it really it's a singer-songwriter album where I just basically, it was a therapeutic process that allowed me to just, write down a lot of the feelings I was going through in my transition out of the NFL, touching on issues of brain health, touching on issues of family, and really, what does it mean to be a virtuous man today? What does it mean to be a man who is committed to his wife, committed to his children, who loves them in with a righteous heart, and just really get into some of these issues, and "You Will Always Be My Girls" was one of them, and it's a song that I co-wrote with two Minnesota natives, Rick Barron and Tommy Barbarella, great musicians here in town, and we sat down and wrote this song, which came from a letter that I wrote to my daughters, and vulnerably, it came out of a place of not knowing what my future holds because of concussions and going to that place of questioning and making sure that they have evidence of the love that I have for them if, in fact, the worst-case situation happens, where I don't remember them someday because of a brain disease due to hitting my head against something for 20 years. And so it was an important letter to write. It was an important song to write. And I'm glad that it's been able to provide a hopeful message for people.
Understood. Well, from the concept of Minnesota sports fans, I mean, we've seen a lot of concussion-related news, of course, with you, with Joe Mauer, Justin Morneau on the baseball side as well. And it's one of these things that I think so many of us, as we've said, don't really understand. Ben, what's your message? I mean, you're out there as an advocate now for a lot of your time, spending your time speaking to the United Nations, to the U.S. Senate. Does football need to change? Do sports need to change, Ben? And what do families with young kids wanting to get out there and play the game need to know?
Well, I think from an advocacy perspective, the message is make your brain priority number one. When it comes down to your body, you make your brain priority number one and make your decisions based upon what's best for your brain. And that would then answer your question. Does football need to change? And the answer is yes. I personally don't think that we need to start tackle football in third grade. I think that our children's brain are going through some of the most important developmental stages of their brains at that age. And if we could remove 3, 4, 5 years of tackle football and give them an opportunity to grow, to strengthen their bodies, to strengthen their necks, because many children face concussions because of lack of neck strength, then I think we could hit the ground running with kids in their 8th and 9th grade year who are stronger, they're more prepared to enter into a contact sport like football. And, I'll probably catch a lot of heat for saying that, but I don't believe that we gain anything by putting children into tackle football in third through seventh grade. I just don't, I don't see the benefit of it. And that would be one hard message, I think, to parents to really think about is, you know, give them strength training, give them skills training, but protect their brains until they have a little bit, until they have a better foundation of strength and maturity underneath themselves. And then make sure that you monitor them, that you're educated on what a concussion is, what symptoms are, where do you go when you have a concussion, and what kind of treatment options are available to you, so that if your child faces that, you as a parent can make the best decision possible for them.
I'm curious. You mentioned the phrase, I'm going to maybe take some heat for this. I'm wondering what the reception has been like, especially among the NFL community and the athletic community, to the message that you've given.
Well, you know, I'm sure it doesn't make people comfortable. I mean, I've been one of the younger players to be vulnerable about you know, more, what my fears are, what my situation is as a former player, to be challenging, making sure that, I mean, the goal for me is I want to make football a better game. I love football and I watch it every Sunday, and I appreciate the NFL and what the NFL gave me. Now, in saying that, I think there are things that the NFL can do to elevate the game, and to, I want them to jump full on into this brain health initiative and take a position and find new ways to help make sure that their players are taken care of. It should happen at the collegiate level too, because these are players that aren't getting paid, and we need to make sure that these guys their brains are taken care of. And you know, let's be honest, we're in a world where the nature of winning is very strong, and parents, if not careful, live through their children. And the desire to win and be victorious is so strong that many times they can put their children at risk. And what I'm asking is parents to make sure that they put the health, especially the brain health of their children, as number one. And to do that, you need to be educated, and you need to be prepared to walk away from a win if, in fact, your child needs help. So it's a tough message, but I deliver it because I care about people. I truly care about people and the health of their brains, and I want to see football become a sport that just becomes bigger and bigger, but I want it to be done the right way.
We're on the road today with a pretty remarkable gentleman. His name is Ben Utek, and he spent time in the NFL, the pinnacle of his profession. He is also embarking on a very successful musical career at this time, and also has a prominent speaking role and advocacy role for the issue of brain health. Now, sir, you mentioned your faith in one of the previous answers, and I wonder, I understand that you grew up as the son of a preacher in a Minnesotan small town. So what has been the role of faith in your life to this point, Ben, and especially as you have dealt with these pretty tremendous challenges that you faced?
Well, let me say this, you know, more loudly than I've said anything so far, and that is that I love Jesus. My faith is my sustenance. It's the aspect to who I am that has really allowed me to persevere through injury, through trials, through suffering, through redefining myself as a man. And you know, a lot of that does come from, you know, from my family. My parents, Jeff and Lori Utek, they lived out their faith. My dad was a minister who brought home his ministry, and it was so important, because my sister and I were able to see, the effect of Christ in their lives, and and how they lived it out loud and how they treated people, and we were just drawn to it. And so I grew up in a wonderful home, and I'm blessed to say that. And it's that faith that really has given me a foundation to, you know, and a ministry and a purpose behind everything that I do, because it really is all for His glory, and it really is all because of his expectation to seek justice and to take care of those who are in need.
You know, that's a blessing to hear, and I especially wonder, you know, the concept of identity and the concept of a purpose in life for so many of us, when we find that we're good at something and others recognize that we're good at something, that becomes part of what we view as who we are. So for you to be as successful as you were on such a stage, to have that in a sense taken away from you, I mean, I imagine faith was a really significant part of reminding you who you still were without that.
Absolutely. And faith is a journey. It is a process. And it's a process of continuing to surrender and continuing to learn more about the nature and the heart of Jesus and the nature of God. And that's been a difficult process for me. I mean, I've gone through, you know, I've been a very prideful person in my past, and where all the accolades were given and all of it went to my head, and the Lord had to break that in me. He did it through injury. And, you know, I've been the guy who's fallen into the illusion of greatness, where, you know, I define everything through the eyes of the world and how they define greatness, which typically comes down to money and power and position. And when you do that, you really get a contrary, picture of the purpose that God really has for you and that He's really intended for you. And you really become very hard on yourself when you're not living up to the standards of the world. But when you are able to surrender that and understand that greatness is he who runs after the Lord with all of his heart every single day. And when we step back in our lives and take a deep breath and breathe him in and focus on how can we be great for the Lord today? How can we end this day looking back and saying, you know what, I laid it all out for him today. Whether it's the chores you do at home, whether it's how you treat your children or your friends or your husbands or your wives, I mean, it all revolves around what true greatness is. And so that's been a difficult lesson for me. And I praise God that I'm going through it, though, because the more I learn about that, the more I realize that I've had it wrong for a long time, and I want to start getting it right.
Wow. Well, it sounds as though you've learned some remarkable lessons, Ben. I can't resist asking this one question because, of course, in your NFL career, you had the chance in Indianapolis to play with what many consider to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. What did you learn from playing with Peyton Manning?
How good you can become when you truly take hold of the mission that has been given to you, and when you really apply the principles of what it takes to be the best at that purpose, at that mission. Peyton, more than anybody I've ever been around, lived and breathed football. I mean, I've never seen someone work harder. I've never seen someone spend more time watching film. He is the greatest student of the game. And what that did for me is it just showed me, it told me that if I applied myself, if I live, and this is all great because it's according to Scripture too, but when we live disciplined lives, when we apply discipline into our lives and a focused attitude, we can accomplish anything. And that's what Peyton showed me. And you know, he continues to to do that. And I continue to sit back and just, you know, enjoy his success, because it's come at endless, endless hours of disciplined preparation, and very specific choices that he's made to become that. And we're all capable of that in the different areas that God has placed us in.
Wow. Well said, Mr. Ben Utek. And Ben, it's been great talking with you, sir. We want to let you go. I wonder, just in closing, if people only hear one message from our conversation today and only take one nugget away, what would you have them leave with?
Surrender all. That's it. Surrender all. Leave it. Leave it all on the field. Let it. Relinquish all you have to the Lord, and stand back and watch what he can do through you.
Wow. Well said, sir. Thank you so much for your time, and we will be praying for you. We will be watching you with pride as you deliver this message across the country.
Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Radio's On the Road, stories of determination, courage, and hope.
Well, how great was Ben Utek on this edition of On the Road? I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I really enjoyed, and honestly was honored to talk with Ben, a guy who, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have a whole lot in common with. I've never been a Super Bowl winning NFL tight end and never had, you know, a tremendous amount of athletic ability, but I was absolutely revitalized by what Ben had to say, and specifically that line when he was talking about his faith. And he said, "I want to say this more loudly than I've said anything else in this interview. I am so in love with Jesus." And that blew me away. How many of us could be found uttering that same sentence? "I am so in love with Jesus." And you know, as we begin a new year in just a couple days, what a great thing to aspire to in this 2015, a new love of Jesus. And the unabashed way he shares it is so encouraging as well. And here's a guy who has a platform, and a guy who probably would have something to gain by not rocking the boat and by not necessarily being so upfront about his faith. But as you heard in the interview, Ben Utek, I mean, just chomping at the bit to talk about who God is to him, what God has done in his life. And it was just tremendously encouraging to hear that from him. I thought as well, it was so interesting how he described identity and how for a professional athlete, to be known and to be celebrated for these skills that you have, these almost seemingly superhuman abilities with a football, and suddenly to have those things taken away from you. And you know, for many of us, it's nothing that particularly epic, I don't think. It's simply the things that we know we're good at. And as human beings, we come to identify those things with precisely who we are. And so what happens when those things are gone? Do we lose the identity that we have? Do we lose who we are? Or is our identity firmly grounded in who we are in Christ? And that's something that doesn't change. That is the real rock. That's a greater rock than any kind of car company could ever fathom or imagine. Who we are in Jesus, that's an identity we can hang on to our entire life. So I thank Ben Utek once again for his time here on the road with us, and want to remind you that you can find that full interview this morning or anytime when you head to myfaithradio.com and simply look for On the Road, and this latest edition will be at the top of the page there with Ben Utek. Also want to offer a special invitation to join us again next weekend, specifically next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. here on the road on Faith Radio, where we will welcome alongside Mr. Tom Johnson. Tom Johnson, a former Major League Baseball hurler who found himself at a crossroads in his career, who also faced an injury that spelled the end of his Major League Baseball athletic career, but it was only the beginning. A story uniquely similar to Ben's in a way, but different as well. and a new purpose for Tom Johnson that included traveling across an ocean and ministering to kids using the heart that God gave him, the skills that God gave him. We'll find inspiration and encouragement coming up next Saturday morning on the road with Mr. Tom Johnson. And thank you once again for joining us on the road today as we profiled Ben Utech, hearing stories that remind us that God is alive and well, and God is using his people in great ways. Thanks once again. I'm Ryan Thomas. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you this morning.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.